Hi, hello. Welcome to today's podcast on optimizing the performance using S3. This is a two-part podcast, and what you are hearing now is the final part of this series. So, a quick recap on what we covered in the part one. We did see why S3 is becoming an essential ingredient of the architecture in AWS, and how many architectures are being built using S3 or leveraging S3. There are two main reasons. One, S3 is the cheapest storage among all the storage solutions available in AWS. And number two, it supports any type of data. So basically, it's a data lake. So, and it also has some of the services like Glue and Athena, which helps you to quickly run a query and understand the type of data in it. And we did see that its performance is something which is unparalleled compared to the other storage solution outside the cloud world. So all these factors combined together makes S3 an essential ingredient. As part of the part one podcast, we also saw four of the performance optimization techniques. Number one, being using prefixes and not treating S3 in the traditional sense of one monolithic storage server, rather treating it as a distributed server where you can have multiple endpoints. Number two, we did see if you want to improve the performance of the overall architecture, let's not over-engineer any one of its elements, but follow a systematic approach of having tracing one transaction, identifying all the components which touches the transaction, and then looking at the performance of each of the component, and thereby having enough data in hand, engineering the required one. Because we did see a lot of the places where you go ahead and keep increasing the number of threads, but that is not the right solution for all the problems. And number three, we did see that having EC2 and S3 in the same region not only helps you to improve your performance, but also it helps you by reducing the costs involved in the data transfer. Number four, we saw that transfer acceleration. Whenever your architecture is in need of uploading a large amount of data to a centralized server or a centralized bucket, making use of transfer acceleration as a tool which leverages the CloudFront is one of the guaranteed solutions in improving your performance. So those were the four major optimization techniques which we covered as part of the earlier podcast. So in today's podcast, we are going to extend and we are going to cover a few more techniques, but majority of them are from an application-specific standpoint. The first four were on a generic scale, but here it will be more on application. So without any further delay, let's deep dive into it. So let's go through some of the performance optimization techniques. The very first one in my list is connection pools. So if you are an application programmer who has been writing applications to talk to your database, this connection pool is not a new concept to you. So you form a connection with your database and you maintain that connection in your cache memory until all the requests go through. So you don't form a connection, fulfill a request, and then close it out. Because by doing so, the overhead incurred per communication with database increases. You need to form a connection, then you need to do a handshake, and then the actual data transfer happens. So there is a latency that by impacting the performance. So similarly, when you write an application which has to communicate with S3, you need to keep your connection pools intact rather than closing it for every request. So in this methodology or in this technique, what really happens is the overhead incurred goes down substantially, which improves your performance. So it's not a new concept. So whatever you have been using for database, utilize the similar concept of connection pools. So if your application is using a REST API to communicate with S3, keep the connection pools intact and optimize the number of connection pools based on your configuration so that most of the requests go through the established connection pool. And you can start a new one when there is additional requests. So that is point number one, connection pools. Point number two, pretty easy one, a byte range fetch. So what do I mean by that is, imagine a scenario where you have a large object, say probably 1 terabyte of object in your S3, and your application wants to read it. There are two ways of doing it. One, you issue a read and that object gets read into your application. So 1 terabyte is getting read. Assume that the last byte, the transaction phase, you have to redo the entire stuff, right? So instead of it, what AWS recommends is read it in parts. So break it into, say, I'll give you a simple example, in the same 1 terabyte object, can you break it into, say, 50 GB, 50 GB and read it? So that even when there is a failure, you need not restart the entire read, but only for that particular segment of it. And also by doing it in parts, the overall performance as an aggregate goes up than doing it as a one single object. If you really look into it, this is a converse of multi-part upload. So if you have a big object or a big file which has to be uploaded in S3, rather than doing it in one go, can you break it into parts and upload it and then assemble it back in an application? This is exactly the same thing which you are doing when you are reading from S3. As the object size increases, do consider reading it in terms of byte ranges. You can make use of the header portion of the HTTP request, wherein you can specifically specify the starting byte and the number of bytes which you want to read. Those are all the syntactical consideration, but conceptually, if you are an architect, the recommendation is don't try to read a larger object in one go, but divide it into parts and do it so your performance improves. That is your point number two. Performance optimization technique is how do you issue a retry request, especially when your application is a latency sensitive one. So if you are designing a gaming app or any type of app where latency is a very critical factor for your user experience as well as to ensure you don't lose your users, if for example a gaming app. So from the moment I click a mouse and I see the effect on the screen, if it is going to take an inordinate time, there's a very high chance that people will not use that app anymore because they expect instantaneous responses. So if you are an architect who are designing such an app and your performance is going to be a major criteria, so you need to know how to issue your retry request. So let me give you a scenario. So you have an application and you have a S3, and your application is going to issue a huge number of requests for a few S3 objects, and it goes beyond a threshold, say let's assume say more than 5,000 requests concurrently. Then what will happen is your L3 will respond back to you with a HTTP error 503 stating that, hey, can you please slow down because there are too many requests coming up. As the S3 gives you that response, it's not going to sit idle, but rather it is going to try a path to optimize and to help you to meet your demand. But that's going to take some time. So meanwhile, what you will do is you are going to again issue another read request. So when you issue a read request and S3 is already in the process of optimizing, there will be a collision. So to avoid it, we use a strategy called exponential backoff and retries. So what I mean by that is, so you issued a request and S3 responded back to slow down. That is the error message 503. Now you need to wait. And how long you have to wait? That wait is not a fixed number. So for example, you are waiting for 2 seconds and you are again issuing a retry request. Again, S3 responds back with the same 503. That means that it is still not at time in identifying an optimized path. So now don't issue a retry request immediately, but now instead of 2 seconds, wait for 4 seconds. So fundamentally, you are exponentially increasing your wait time such that S3 finds an optimized path, because for every retry, S3 is not going to take you through the same old path, but it is going to find another new path which can meet your expectation. So this is called as your backoff strategy with the maximum intervals between each retry as well as the maximum retries. And this becomes a little complicated depending upon how much data you are expecting in each of the transfer. Is it going to be fixed or is it going to be variable? If it is going to be a variable, is it going to be less than say 512 MBs, or it is going to be more than that? So depending upon it, you need to identify which the backoff time need to differ, and the optimized path is going to take some amount of time. So bear it in mind, when you need to be aggressive in issuing your retry commands, there needs to be good amount of time interval between each retry, because that is the time taken by S3 internally to optimize a best path to solve your problem and to give you a higher performance. So in your application, if you are going to implement this retry logic, you need to ensure your configuration file and your retry logic has all this exponential backoff strategy. But in case if you are using the AWS SDK, you need not worry about all of it, because AWS by virtue takes all its best practices and implements it in the latest version of SDK. So all these things will be taken care by itself. You need not explicitly code a backoff logic, but this best practice is already ingrained into it. So assume 18 months down the line, things change, as they come up with some other strategy, they will implement it in the latest version of SDK. So that is one another performance optimization technique, saying that if you are going to use AWS SDK, please ensure you are using the updated or the latest version, because by default, all these best practices will be ingrained into it. So that is your fourth optimization technique, which is making use of your latest kit of AWS SDK. The other technique is making use of CloudFront for the commonly used objects or the most frequently used objects, because it is going to be in cache and you are going to get it from your edge location rather than hitting on the server or the S3 again and again. But that also means that there's a trade-off between performance as well as the cost. So you need to take an informed decision, which is right. And similarly, instead of coming and hitting the S3 again and again, can you make use of an elastic cache linked with your EC2s so that all the objects which are being frequently used, can your application refer to the cache first, and if not, go to the S3 and fetch it, and also in parallel update the cache. The trivial question here will be, what are the objects which I need to store in the cache? There is no thumb rule to answer it. You need to study your application. You need to classify which objects are hot, which objects are cold. You need not store your cold objects in the cache. Rather, all the hot objects should be there. And what qualifies for a hot object depends exclusively on your application, right? And there is a very good Netflix case study which is available on the internet. Probably in my next podcast, I will cover a part of it, wherein they go through the strategy on to maintain your cache and how do they keep updating it so that performance is never compromised. So, in a nutshell, so we have seen 5 different techniques in today's session. The very first one is connection pools. Maintain connection pools in the cache and reuse them. And we saw about bytridge fetches. The third one we saw is in a latency sensitive application, how do you issue your retry request? So you need to have a strategy to exponential back off and retry. And as a byproduct of it, we also saw making use of the latest version of the AWS SDK brings in all this best practices in a golden platter to you. And the last but not least, making use of the CloudFront or the Elastic Cache option to improve your performance. So these are a few techniques. In precise, there are 9 techniques we have seen in both the podcasts put together. I will be more than glad to answer any of your questions on S3 optimization. And if you have any other technique which you believe I have not covered, and it is one of the guaranteed things which has worked for you, please write to me at queryshami@gmail.com. I'll be more than glad to integrate it in my future podcast. Hope you enjoyed my podcast. Do let me know your feedback. Thank you. Have a nice day.